everybody, and welcome to this week's Pitching In NPL show. I'm your host, Ben, and on this week's show, we're going to be looking back at all of last weekend's action in the first round of the FA Cup. Later in the show, we're also going to be joined by Marine manager, Mr. Neil Young, to talk about quite an exciting Saturday afternoon that they had last week down in Essex. But before that, let's talk about FC United. And on Saturday evening, they hosted Doncaster Rovers in the first round of the FA Cup at Broadhurst Park.
Doncaster with a two-goal advantage. Coppinger, good-looking delivery. Doyle gets ahead on it. And then Ennis clears his lines. James, great work from Liddy. Liddy now. He's got a chance to be one-on-one. Can he score? Yes, he can. A superb goal. Brilliant opportunism there from Regan Linney. And you've just got to give him 10 out of 10 there, Regan Linney. He hurried out there. He took it off the toe of the Doncaster player, kept his composure and slid it past the keeper. It's 2-1.
Regan Linney there for FC United, making it 2-1 on Saturday night. But unfortunately, the final score finished 5-1 to the League One side, Doncaster. Let's have some post-match reaction now from Saturday evening. Here's manager of FC United, Neil Reynolds, speaking on FC Radio shortly after the final whistle.
Well, Neil, thanks for joining us. You know, at one stage of the early in the second half, it could look like it was going to get very, very messy. But how pleased were you with the way the side kept going and even threatened to pull goals back?
Really pleased. But before I talk about our side, I just want to congratulate Doncaster Rovers on an exceptional performance. You know, let's not forget they beat top of the league Lincoln last week. You know, 3-1, they're a fantastic side. And, you know, credit to them for bringing the full first team. You know, that shows us maximum respect. So I just want to, you know, obviously say well done and wish them all the best in the next round. In terms of my side, you know, delighted. I think, you know, just speaking to name drop, but Mika Richards and Alex Scott, and they said how brave we were with the ball, how well we moved it, possession, we played really well. Unfortunately, you know, when you make poor decisions or make mistakes, you can get punished, and we get back in at 2-1. We made a poor decision for the third. You know, Griffiths tried to, don't know, play between the centre half and fullback instead of going out to Donoghue, and then Potts for the fourth one makes a bad decision and should have gone out to the fullback and didn't, and all of a sudden you're 4-1 down. We said to lads at half time, you know, stay in the game, you know, and then you obviously you come out for the second half and deflected goal, it's 5-1. But credit has to go, enormous credit, because they didn't stop playing, they didn't switch off, but we carried on playing and pressing and probing, and Donoghue nearly scored and Fowler nearly scored. And you know, I just said to him in the huddle there, listen, you've just played in front of how many people tonight? 2 million on BBC cameras, and you haven't disgraced yourself. You know, we haven't gone, if you were, long ball every single time, we've continued to try and play. And I've got to give him massive credit for that.
So looking ahead, you've got a month now on the beach, metaphorically.
Yeah.
What will your message to the players be?
So they'll have a training programme like they would in close season. They'll still be doing all the work on the GTEC vest. You know, we won't stop. There'll be weekly targets. And, you know, just said down there, I just hope that the league don't spring it up on us that we start on Saturday 5th of December and it hasn't given us any, you know, contact time with the lads. So I hope there's a bit of common sense there. But we'll just have to do what we do and hopefully, you know, when the lads do come back, we're on the back of a win against Warrington and on the back of, you know, playing in the FA Cup first round. And, you know, we'll go and do what we set out to do, and that's, you know, run close to the top of the league and maybe hopefully get out of this league.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds there speaking to FC Radio's James Quinn following his side's 5-1 defeat at the hands of Doncaster. A big commiserations to FC United, and also a big commiserations to South Shields. They travelled down to Gloucestershire on Saturday afternoon to take on Cheltenham Town.
Ball played into the penalty area though, and there's an opportunity for Gilchrist, and it's turned into the back post as they have scored for South Shields, and Cheltenham were unable to deal with the ball in. Gilchrist very nearly finished it at full stretch, he couldn't get there as Zay in the back post has collided with the post, but he has equalised for South Shields, and it's Cheltenham 1, South Shields 1.
A big thank you to BBC Radio Gloucestershire there for that piece of audio. That was the equalising goal from Darius Osi against Cheltenham Town on Saturday. Unfortunately, Cheltenham Town in the second half went on to score two more goals, making the final score Cheltenham Town 3, South Shields 1. Let's have some post-match reaction now from the South Shields manager. Here's Graham Fenton speaking to the in-house YouTube channel at South Shields.
Just exceptionally proud of the lads. Obviously had a good run to get to this point. It was always going to be tough coming away from home on such a long journey to a team who are doing very, very well in League Two. But yeah, just proud of it, really proud of how the lads went about their business. Thought we played some good stuff at times. Obviously getting back into their game after they scored quickly was good, and then we missed a couple of big opportunities to take the lead. And then that could have been a little bit different if we had managed to give ourselves something to hold on to, but that wasn't the case today, and we just felt like the big moments went against us today, and you need those big moments to go for you when you're away from home at a side that's three leagues high.
They started very brightly, but the way that we recovered from that and got the goal and then had chances to go ahead, that would fill you with a lot of pride.
Absolutely, shows character. So yeah, I mean, more so second half when they went 3-1 up, and you know, we felt unjustly so after the ball hit the referee and it should have been a free kick. Look, we move on. We've shown after that that we've gone 3-1 down. The lads have rolled their sleeves up and they've given it a right good go to get back in the game. And we create another couple of half chances that on another day you can take and we'll get something out of the game. But look, they're a good side. Michael's got them exceptionally well organised. They move the ball well. They work you hard. But I felt we played our part in the game as well.
When you see the team compete on a stage like that against a team that's really doing well in League Two, does that show the quality of this team and where it
can
get to?
Yeah. Well, look, you know what we're like. We're always striving to be better. I think the lads will say that, you know, there's moments in that game where maybe we should have been better. We didn't move the ball as well as we possibly could do. We went long more often than we should have. We needed to show a little bit more belief. I think that belief came when we went 3-1 down. It was a shame because we then started moving the ball around with that real belief and character after. But we wanted that before that point. But you can't really have a go at the lads, Dan. It's been a good run to this point and a really proud performance of them.
Obviously really frustrating now that you're not going to have a game for at least 3 or 4 weeks. What's the sort of mindset going into this sort of lockdown period for the team, would you say?
Like everybody, frustration. You know, we've got ourselves into a good moment at the minute. We're on a good run of form. Obviously a result today, not so much. But before that, you know, we're doing some really good things. We felt like we're improving all the time. Like everybody, we've been asked to stop playing, and we have to basically go back to lockdown and get the lads to do their own work for the next month. And what we can say is that these lads are a great bunch, and they will put the work in. They'll look after themselves, and they'll come back fit and raring to go.
South Shields manager Graham Fenton there speaking to South Shields' YouTube channel following his side's 3-1 defeat at the hands of Cheltenham Town on Saturday afternoon in the first round of the FA Cup.
Michael Howard to create a bit of history for Marine Football Club up against Dean Gherkin. Is it going to be glory? It is! And Marine caused the biggest FA Cup upset of this year's competition. They took the lead here against Colchester United of League Two. The U's levelled up, but Marine fought so hard and just kept Colchester limited to barely any opportunities, and they've kept their nerve from the spot. They've scored all five, and who can deny them this wonderful afternoon in North Essex? Marine put their name in the FA Cup annals, and Colchester United shake their heads. They're out.
Superb stuff there from Marine, flying the flag now for the Northern Premier League in the FA Cup. The next round, which will be played later in the month, they'll be taking on Havant and Waterlooville. And for reaction to this, as well as that great win from last Saturday, on Friday afternoon, I caught up with the manager at Marine. It's a welcome back to the show to Neil Young. Neil, a big thank you for joining us, and a big, 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 big congratulations on last weekend's result. We're recording this on Friday. Have you recovered?
Yeah, fully recovered. You know, we've obviously had a lot of pressing interest this week. But yeah, I didn't have a drink on the way home. The bus was bouncing, but yeah, fantastic results last weekend. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the next round.
Now, we obviously spoke on the way down last week's show. And, I mean, what were your expectations? Did you think when we were talking last week and heading into the game that you could pull it out the hat the way you did?
I think you always go into every game thinking you can win it, unless it's really silly, you know, Premier League or you know, level. But no, we went down there with the way of playing. You know, we thought we could cause them problems. You know, you don't go into any game not thinking you've got a chance of winning it, you know. But overall, you know, you go in there knowing the enormity of the task. But, you know, from first minute to last, it wasn't an heroic performance as some cup ties have been in previous years. It was quite controlled, calm, measured, and no, great credit to the players.
And that was the thing, wasn't it? I mean, most people writing about it, and I've watched the highlights back, and obviously you can only get so much from the highlights, but
yeah.
It looked like you were in the same league, essentially.
Yeah, I think everyone's got an idealistic way of how football should be played, haven't they? And, you know, we watched Liverpool Man City last week, and we see the level of quality, and people talk about, oh, we've got to play a certain way, but I've always been a big believer in you've got to play the way that best fits the players that you've got available to you. We had a game plan, which was to stop them from moving the ball across and moving us about and basically pinning one centre-back. And the lads carried that out. You know, a few of them were looking at me a bit funny when I put the plan to them. But, you know, they carried it out, and on this day it worked.
Let's talk about 21 minutes into the game then. And you take the lead. I mean, what was your thoughts at that point?
You know, happy that we've got in front, you know, to give ourselves a chance. We hadn't conceded an early goal, which was always our worry. But, you know, Josh Romami's free kicks have been well-known all season. He's done one again. Obviously, Keeps made a good save, and Anthony Miley's followed it in. So, you know, to be 1-0 up, it takes a little bit of pressure off. But then you know they're going to keep coming. You know, technically, they're very good. You know, you look at the results before and after. You know, they won 3-1 on the Tuesday before we went there, and you won 6-1 on the Tuesday after we went there. So, you know, that shows what a good side they are.
And obviously, like you touched upon there, I mean, Colchester eventually did get the equaliser, and you know, I could ask you the question, you know, how proud are you about the result? But I can also ask you about the question, how proud are you that, you know, you kept it at 1-1 at that point? Because at that point, the lower league team, it could all go off the rails, couldn't it? But it really didn't.
It didn't. No, as I say, it was pretty calm in the fact that we'd been in the game and we'd had the better chance. Neil Kenzie had a good chance to keep it, made a fantastic save. James Balligan had a good chance, which he blazed over. We'd actually had the better chances. I don't think our goalkeeper, well, I know our goalkeeper never had a save to make in the first half, and very little up until the goal. And was probably a little bit disappointed with the goal. But the thing for me is that most people would have been expecting, once it did go to extra time, that we would fade. But, you know, we didn't. We kept going. Again, and obviously they would have the majority of the ball. But I've seen some stats out there which basically says they had 4 shots on goal, and so did we.
Yeah, that's I mean, they had a load off target, didn't they? But when it goes to extra time, you've travelled all that way. I know you travelled, you know, a day earlier, but you've travelled all that way, and like you say, you're running after the ball a lot, and that's it makes it even more difficult for fitness wise. But really, fit as a fiddle, your team by the looks of it.
Yeah, I think it's always when you play league opposition and you're going to be moved around a lot. The hardest position to play in is midfield, particularly the way we set up. You know, it was always going to be hard for the lads in there. And, you know, with the 19, 20 and 22, and two of them ran themselves into the ground to a point where they had to come off, which was always a problem because two of them are penalty takers. So the three lads that actually came off with Niall Cummins, who again had run himself into the ground, we're all part of the penalty-taking team that we were probably assembling if it went that way. But as I said, you give absolutely everything to the game, to the football club, and got the just rewards.
I was going to say, how difficult was that judgment? Because obviously Cummins is one of those players, like you say, he's a penalty taker, he's a goal scorer, but he's a level head, isn't he, as well, and vast experience. How difficult of a substitution was that to make in extra time?
It was difficult in the fact that the biggest question I was asking myself was the height element, because they were, you know, the other lad at the back is about 6'6", you know, they were big all over the pitch, and obviously we're not the biggest, so, you know, Niall's key in both boxes from a set-piece perspective, and we knew that would probably be what we'd be coming under in a bombardment at some stage, but we were able to bring Adam Hughes on to give us that physicality in both boxes, and Niall had run himself into the ground, and I did think they were pushing on a little bit, and if we could have got Mo and made a few better decisions into Mo Torre in that role, we probably could have got one-on-one, and he did. He got a few shots off and just wide and, you know, final ball at times. But yeah, as I say, overall, it's a terrific performance by everybody.
So then it goes to penalties. What are you thinking at that point? Because it is a lottery at that stage. I know that's a cliche, but I mean, you're still... You're playing against a full-time team who obviously practice penalties a lot, I'm going to suggest, in the lead-up to this game. So, yeah. I mean, it's not really a lottery, is it, in your favour?
No, it was take away all the clichés, really, the talk before they took the penalty. It was about, you know, oh, we've come this far, and, oh, should we see what we take? No, we were keen. We wanted to, you know, we got that far. We were the other way. We wanted to make sure we moved on. You know, we wanted to make sure we put ourselves in the next round. It wasn't a case of, you know, we reached this far, let's go pat ourselves on the back. Let's get this done. And as I say, we've taken off three penalty takers, or normal penalty takers for us. But, you know, credit to all the lads who stood up and took one. You know, they were confident. We told them to make sure they put everything behind the ball. And that's what they did.
And what was Michael Howard, one of you thinking in your mind, because obviously he came on, didn't he, towards the end of the 90 minutes. So, I mean, were you thinking, you know, he's going to be my penalty taker, that's going to win the thing?
Well, we let them pick where they wanted to go in terms of the lineup for the penalties. I mean, Michael had missed one in a game a couple of weeks back on his birthday, believe it or not. So it was made up that, you know, he wants to take one, and more importantly, he got the most important one, because, as you know, with young players, confidence is a massive thing, and you know, that will definitely lift his confidence to score that winning penalty in a tie of that magnitude.
So with that goal going in, you obviously go through to the next round. And just before we move on to your next opponents, just a mention for Steve Ball as well, who said, you know, Marine were organised and disciplined and, you know, came with a game plan. I mean, you've gone head-to-head with a Football League manager and you come out on top, and he's got compliments like that for you.
Yeah, it's good as a manager. You know, we work very hard, and we always have done, in terms of how we set up. We do a lot of work on the opposition. Will that be, you know, somebody in our league or somebody, you know, in the Football League? You know, I think you've got to do your due diligence all the time, and that's what we will do and we'll continue to do. You've got to work hard at your job. But, you know, our expectation of ourselves is high. So, you know, whether it be Chester in the previous round or will it be Colchester, we will always work hard and try and be the best we can be with the players that we've got available to us.
Now, Havant and Waterlooville in the next round, I'm going to say this, so I'm not going to jinx it for you too much, but given the fact the opposition you've already played, I mean, what's your thoughts on this one? Because, you know, it's not really a giant killing anymore, is it, if you win this one?
Well, the two leagues above us, they're a very good side. And it's a different test. You know, they won't be... When you come up against the league side, you know, I'm not saying complacency, but they have a certain way of playing and they won't come away from that, where, you know, Havant will be well aware of going to non-league grounds, well aware of the way non-league teams set up and play. So it's a different challenge. I think it's, you know, it's more probably from our week-to-week type of game with obviously added quality. But, you know, we've already got two games on them that we'll watch, their cup tie last week, their midweek game. We've got the VTs from them. So we'll watch them. I'll watch them tomorrow on the stream and prepare again. You know, it's a tough game. Both teams have got everything to play for. They'll obviously be looking at us thinking there's an opportunity to get in the third round, and we'll be setting up to obviously try and achieve the same.
And how does it all work then? Because obviously doing the NPL show, I don't speak to that many elite level managers like yourself now. So how does it work training wise and that kind of thing now you're an elite club?
Well, we've got obviously our separate protocol, us and Canvey, I think, have got the same, and the fact that, you know, we can train now up until the game. We're allowed to play. We were allowed to play one friendly initially. We asked the FA, could we make that two? Which they've come back late yesterday, to say yes, they'll agree to that second friendly. So we're just prepared, and we trained Wednesday night. We give the lads this weekend off just to basically give them a bit of a breather, because, as you know, in our league, in the NPL, you know, we've been playing Saturday, Tuesday, right up to lockdown. So it's a lot of football. So now and then, obviously, we'll be fully at it from next week.
Close to the time, because I hate to tell you this, Neil, but you're the only manager I can get to speak to now who's actually got a competitive game coming up. So I will be back in touch later in the month, needs must and all that. But I was going to say, where does this put you with regards to planning for when the league returns? Because you're at a great advantage now, aren't you, I'd suggest?
I think we're at a great advantage in the fact that we can train. You know, that's the advantage. The disadvantage is we've only played five league games. Mm. So, you know, potentially we've got 30-plus games still to play in a period of... If you look at the league, it's going to still finish on the May date that it's intended to. I worked it out at about 18 weeks, and that's without us progressing again in any cup competition. And obviously, we've still got the FA Trophy first round to go through. So if you look at 30-plus games in 17, 18 weeks and potentially more cup ties, then we're lucky in the fact that we can still train, but I don't know, I'll be fit all them games in, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it's going to be tricky. We'll cover that off in later weeks. But back to Marine and yourselves in the FA Cup, Neil. Just you mentioned the fact, you know, you've been very, very busy as a club this week with all the publicity. How good is it to ride that wave, and how good is it at the moment to be the manager at Marine?
I mean, from a personal perspective, I'm just proud of what we've achieved so far. You know, I've obviously managed, you know, Chester to successes. From a club perspective, I think they're loving it. You know, the profile, the limelight on the football club. I think most people you speak to in non-league football who have an awareness of Marine always tell you how good a club it is, how nice a club it is in terms of when you go there and the people around there. And as I say, you know, from a managerial perspective, the satisfaction for me is to make other people happy, because, you know, will it be, as I say, at Chester previously or Marine now, some of these people who've got these football clubs, it's their life's work, you know, or it's been their life, you know, in terms of their support. So to be able to bring them success, and now obviously the limelight of the FA Cup, you know, that's very satisfying from a personal perspective, and I know the staff feel the same.
Neil Young there, manager of Marine, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. That interview conducted on Friday lunchtime. And we'll be catching up again with Neil, obviously, in the lead-up to that second round match in the FA Cup against Havant and Waterlooville. But that's it for this week's Pitching In NPL show. A big thank you to Neil for joining us, and also a big thank you to the media teams at FC United and at South Shields, as well as the BBC, of course. Links to all these wonderful providers of non-league football are available in the description to this podcast. Remember, for all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you all make sure that you all have a safe weekend, and you'll be hearing from us again next week. Bye-bye.